What's up? Welcome to episode 345 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And Isley will be joining us probably momentarily on his walk back to his apartment. He'll be joining on his phone. We'll see how the quality is. He's been on his phone before in the past when his computer had problems. I think, Zai, you had also used your phone once. It's typically fine, but I figure if he's walking, you know, downtown streets of wherever it is that he lives, because I don't remember how, I don't know how noisy it'll be.
He just like, up on him, it's fine.
Yeah, he just mutes himself all the time. But yeah, so we can go ahead. There actually is some news. I thought like, oh, there won't be that much, but we got a little bit because we have the sale that we talked about last episode that ended on the 5th of January came back as a new one, but they didn't add any new games, and I don't think the prices changed versus like when we talked about me buying a bunch of games on the Game Awards sale that they got cheaper during the end of the year sale by a couple percentage. It didn't seem like that was the case because they still had all the same games, the Modern Warfare, Death Stranding, Assassin's Creed, like all the big games that were on sale previously are still on sale. So I don't know if they added more stuff. Like I guess I could check real quick. Let me, because I know if you do a sort, it'll show, because I think it was like what we said, 1,063 or something like that was on sale last time. Mm-hmm. So if we go to the deals, because yeah, it's up to 67% off. So you see all game deals, and let's sort by platform. Okay, now there's only 959 PlayStation 4 games, so there's, you know, almost 100 less, than there was previously, but 383 full games, 282 bundles, 159 PSN, and 61 VR. I guess that would have been the way to look at it last time, is just look at the breakdown of game type and see if those numbers changed. But, yeah, again, it's the same stuff. The Jedi Fallen Orders, all the big games, Spider-Man, everything. So if you missed it, it's like it's still there. So that's great, but why not just say that? Like, I guess you don't want to call it the end of the year sale when it goes on for 2 weeks after the end of the year.
New decade sale.
Yeah, because this one's called this one's just called the holiday sale. I'm like,
well, holidays are over, bro.
Yeah, I know. It's like it ends on the 16th. But anyways, it's like at least it's good for people that did, you know, maybe they were out of town because on vacation and they still had those, you know, gift cards they haven't used yet. Mm-hmm. Or you know, sometimes you have those people like, you know, they go, oh, I wish I'd jumped on that sale. And then it turns out the sale's still going for another, you know, 11 days. You're like, oh, okay, I'll just go ahead and hop on that. So yeah, if you missed anything, you're still good. Most likely it's there. But yeah, as far as new releases, there was nothing this week that stood out. I didn't even think if there's any new releases if I look on the games on the PlayStation Store. Ancestors, I don't even remember when that came out. I think that was last week. We just missed it. There's Izzy. Let's see if we can add him to the call and see how he sounds. Oh my god, I gotta remember how to add people to those calls. We did this last time, and I'm like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
How do I add? There's like add friends to DM. I guess that's how it works. No, that's just create a group. I don't want to do that. Oh, I don't even remember. I don't remember how to add people.
We just need like a server that he can drop in and out of.
Yeah, because I guess I'm thinking of Skype, because Skype is like where if like we were on Skype because we should record that way, it's like easy just add user. But there's no like really quick add a person. Like I can add people to the group, but we already have a group. So I don't need
I guess because it's attached to the DM, you can't just add somebody to the call without adding them to the chat.
Yeah, so I guess what I'll have to do is just end the call and just call back. So we'll try that. So now we're joined by Isley. He's walking back to his place right now. So he's on his phone. So it might be a little windy on his end, but it'll be
heavy breath.
Heavy breath because he's tired.
Sultry breathing.
Yeah, because he's so tired. He's like, oh, I got to get back with this jacket.
It's a nice jacket. I mean, I got a good one. So.
Good.
But anyways, getting back to the news. I was looking on a Twinfin. I saw an article about an interview, I guess, with Corey Barlog, and how he wants to tell the story of Kratos and Faye meeting, which would be interesting. I guess you could, if they were to do a, you know, obviously they're going to do God of War 2, but I guess you could have, like, maybe a flashback sequence, but if the game is one take, again, you couldn't necessarily do that unless, like, you walk into the flashback or something. I don't know how that worked.
Or that door, the way they did the door fast travel thing, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, something like that. Because he does say here, he says, Faye was the one I identified with the most, Barlow explains as he recalls. This is an interview he had with, let's see, PlayStation Access. He sat down, talked about, and he's saying here, oh, that quote doesn't help because it's just a super short quote. Let's see. He then goes on to say that later in God of War, you get to understand that she has way more power than all of them and is actually the controller of so much in this universe. That way, when we build this up to when you actually get to see this, and I hope, I don't know how we're going to tell this or when we're going to tell this, but I really want to tell the story of Kratos and Faye meeting. And that's just an excerpt of what he said in this interview. This, of course, is the recreating Kratos interview he had, which is like an hour with him. It's on YouTube. Let's see what the YouTube channel's called here. It's just PlayStation Access. So if you look them up, again, it's called Recreating Kratos, an Hour with God of War director Corey Barlog. I'd be interested to see what... I have to add that to my watch later. It just got posted today, or not today, on the 3rd. So yesterday. I'll have to add it to my watch later list. I wonder if there's going to be any new insights versus something like everything else he's talked about when just doing spoiler casts, like the million spoiler casts he did, the documentary... behind the scenes stuff. Like, I wonder if there'll be anything new revelations in there. But obviously, this is something new, so I'm curious what else there is. But yeah, that would be interesting. I definitely would like to see him crossing over to that their realm. But yeah, I'd be curious to see if they show that in the next game or not. We also got the announcement of the PlayStation Plus games for January, which is the Uncharted Nathan Drake Collection and Goat Simulator. I thought Nathan Drake Collection was already a PlayStation Plus game previously, but I guess it wasn't. It must have just been heavily discounted at one point. But definitely jump on that. That's a great collection. And then Goat Simulator, if you want to see what it's like to be a goat, I guess. It's supposed to be a very popular
stuff. That game is fun.
I'm sure it's a very accurate game that perfectly depicts the life of the goats.
Izzy sounds like he's very far away talking about an awkward game about goats.
Yeah. I don't know how headphones are. The technology works, man.
Yeah, you sound like you're like Izzy reporting from the top of Mount Everest.
He's in space.
You sound super muted versus the background of the wind and I guess the cars.
You need some better headphones.
I need to get away from the highway. I'm literally right next to the highway walking alongside it right now.
Yeah, that's probably why, because that just drowns you out. It sounds like, again, you're reporting on some car accident, and like we need like that one good directional mic just aim at you with just noise canceling of everything else.
This is Isley coming in with the Seattle News reporting a car accident and typical Seattle traffic, because Seattle traffic sucks.
It's like a brand new news reporter who has the mic turned the wrong way.
Yeah, right. It's going the wrong direction.
I have a studio mic in my apartment for recording music with a pop filter on it. And when I taught guitar lessons, I definitely had students like try to play on the other side because they thought the pop filter would block noise. But you know, they're not wrong. It blocks certain types of noise, but they thought it was meant to be like muted on one side and then open on the other.
Mm-hmm.
So then turn it. So yeah, it's like that.
That's funny.
You're like, no, no. Close, but no, no.
So you sounded better right there. Much better. So it sounded like you started recording on the side of the pop filter.
I'm trying to get away from the highway, but right. I can only walk uphill so fast.
There you go. Both ways.
It's Seattle. Literally is uphill both ways.
But yeah, last bit of news is there was a game I forgot that was going to come out on PlayStation 4, Iron Harvest, which is a game that I forget when it was announced. It's a King Art Games. It's an RTS. I thought this might have been E3. I know it wasn't Game Wars, or maybe it was like some other, you know, Gamescom, Paris Games Week, something like that. But I remember seeing it. It's like the Iron Harvest, especially like World War One didn't end, and there's like Mecca. It's like an alternate history scenario, RTS. And it seemed pretty interesting. But it is coming out on, I thought it was only on Steam, but it is coming out on PS4 and Xbox on September 1st, 2020. But they just released a new trailer, kind of showing more gameplay and then also like development updates. So that got shown. But yeah, that was the game I just wanted to bring back up because, again, I forgot that it was coming to consoles. I'll be curious to see how they do it, because the last console RTS game I played would have been Command and Conquer Red Alert 3 on PlayStation 3, which played fine. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, obviously it wasn't like anything like StarCraft, but that played fine on consoles. So I'll be interested to see how they, I guess if you do it from the ground up as a new RTS versus something that's legacy like Command and Conquer, or you know, when they did like StarCraft 64, where you have to kind of fit it around the controller versus developing for the controller. But we've seen a lot of games like this, not RTS specifically, but games that are heavily, I mean, Civ 6 is a big one where they go, that was always weird to me, because it was always, you know, oh, I don't know how you can bring a Civ 6 proper to a console, because, you know, it's got so many buttons and stuff like that. I'm like, when I play Civ 6 on my piece on my computer, like, I'm using the mouse and, like, maybe, I think, spacebar. Like, I don't use any of the keyboard shortcuts. Mm-hmm. It's, like, I click my unit where I want to go. Mm-hmm. I, you know, maybe I click on the map, but I don't use any of the hotkeys that much. And then I tried out Civ 6 on the console, and it plays fine. Like, it's, again, it's, they did it really well for the controller. The only thing you're missing is some of the UI stuff on the PC, or the Steam version, where there's like these yield UI elements you can turn on the computer, but you can't do it on the console version. And they're not like game changing, but they are some like these yield ribbons that show you like what each Civ has. And maybe it is there if I play further along and it's like a default option, because on the computer it's off by default because it takes up kind of a lot of space. So maybe they worked it in somehow, and I just don't know because I didn't play enough of it. I just played a little bit to see how, I wanted to see how quickly it loaded. The load times initially do take quite a bit to get into the game, but once you're in, like, it's fine. You just do the standard stuff, turn off animations and just have things move along, turn off the combat animations, and then, it plays really well. Like I said, I played it a bit. I should play some more of it, but I haven't yet. So yeah, I'll be interested to see how Iron Harvest does. And even games like, oh my gosh, I'm totally blank on the name now, even though I love the game. Oh no, I'm blanking. What's the game called? Oh, the snow game. It's not even on my crossbar anymore because unfortunately it got pushed out because I reinstalled a bunch of other games. But
Frostpunk?
Yes, there you go, Frostpunk. Like that's a game that has a lot of UI and stuff going on. But that works really well on the controller. So people are making strides. They just got to be, you know, good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but and yeah, that's it for the new. Oh, there was I guess the light news is that IGN did announce that they're going to a 10-point scale for their review system, which I don't really like personally.
They already on one?
No, they were on a 100-point scale.
Oh, I did this before where they went from 100 point to like 10 point to yes or no back to 100 point.
No, they've never dropped to 10. I think for a while they had a 20 point, which I prefer.
Oh, that might be what it was. They dropped to something that everyone bitched about because they were saying it was not as accurate.
What is that in the background?
A lot of people in Seattle do drugs.
Okay, it sounds like
I don't know how to explain it beyond that.
Someone's going
to
attack you and take your stuff.
It's possible. It was someone doing heroin on the sidewalk.
Well, at least if you do get killed, we'll have it recorded. So just make sure you're unmuted so I can tell the police.
Uh-huh.
You know where I live, so you can just tell the police. We have a recording of it. There will be justice.
I don't remember. He's in some place over in this area on the map. But yeah, it's not really
that's funny. Fine. You know my actual name, so you can be like, Isley, real name, person was.
I check. Yeah.
Murdered. That's murdered right. On the streets of Seattle while walking uphill.
While recording a podcast.
Yes.
But yeah, they're going to a 10-point scale, which, like I said, I don't like it because I like the 20-point scale. I mean, the 100-point has always been kind of silly just because, like, what's the difference between 6.8 and 6.9, which they brought up in the article. But I feel like not having a, like, 20-point at least gives you that, you know, 0.5. Because I feel like it's at least easier to show improvement sequel over sequel. Which obviously can get you more so with a 100-point scale, saying like, oh, this game is an 8, and then it comes out with the sequel, it's like, oh, well, this is an 8.6 or whatever. It's like, okay, there's clear improvement to the formula.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if a game was not as 8, like if it has no improvement, if it's not amazing, but it's higher than great, like you're just going to round it up to 9 and make it amazing? Like because then you require much more of the end user to actually read, which I typically read summaries. I don't like to read full reviews. I'll look at the number, then I'll read the summary, you know, the final paragraph, and that's it, because I don't want spoilers. And I know they always say spoiler free, but I don't like anything. Even typically in even movies and shows, like I'll look at the number, maybe read like the summary paragraph. But I only go back and look at reviews once I've played the game, either all the way through or played a bunch of the game. So I know if I watch like the video footage of the review, it's just like the first, you know, quarter of the game. But I typically mm-hmm. don't read reviews in their entirety if I haven't played the game yet. Unless it's something I've never played, then I'll watch a review or something. But yeah, I mean, it's a big change for them. I know some other sites have gone to, because didn't Kotaku get rid of numbers altogether? Or was it?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, someone got rid of like the number entirely. Yeah.
They do the should you play this game yes or no thing, which is okay, but they've also had a lot of issues with people just generally not trusting their authors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you also, when you do something like that, or is it Polygon? Maybe I'm thinking of, no, not Polygon. I think Polygon sells numbers, but it also removes you from the Metacritic aggregation because now you don't have a number that they can pull from. So you're like, you're losing that as well. But that's kind of a side effect of the Metacritic website. But
and if you do like a should you just play this game or not type of thing, that you're kind of going down to like opinion, you're not really like giving it a score and breaking down why you gave that score or anything. It's just like the like the author's like end opinion. It's like, should you play this game? I mean, yeah, because it's a game and it was okay. Or just like, no, because it's not good, I guess. But it's like, you can't make your own decision based on the score.
That's what most reviews are. It's just, yeah, they remove a certain element of like how quality a game is. Because there's a difference between should you play this game? Yes, it's a 95. And should you play this game? Sure, it's a 60.
Yeah, but usually when I don't know if it's IGN that does it or if it's like another site that I look at, maybe Destructoid or something like that, but they give like a score and then they break down like why they gave that score, like the pros and cons or whatever. So I can look at the score and be like, well, why did they give it that score? Are the cons something that I don't care about or what? If you don't break that down, then it's just like, okay, well, this person says I shouldn't play this game. But if it's something like, if it's somebody that's reviewing Animal Crossing who hates life sims and doing repetitive shit over and over again, they're going to be like, no, don't play this game. And I'm going to be like, fuck you, it's Animal Crossing, I'm going to play it.
Yeah, that's also a bad review assignment. Like, typically, you don't, like, I've seen instances of that where, like, where people, they give someone, like, no one had, like, especially when, like, years back during, like, PS3 era, where it's like, they don't have enough staff,
IGN
perhaps.
That stranding.
Yeah. Or they give it to the game to somebody and they're like, oh, well, I didn't like the first 2 hours of this game, so I stopped playing it. It's like, well, no, you don't get to do that. You're paid to do the whole game.
Yeah, that was also
IGN with the Witcher series.
Do they? Oh, the TV show? I mean, I know a lot of
people. They watched episodes 2, 3, and 5.
I didn't think that was, I thought that wasn't IGN. I thought that was, whatchamacallit? Oh, I'm blanking, like another, not like The Verge, but a different website, because I brought that up.
Also, with the Witcher series, doesn't matter. All the episodes were pretty damn good. So,
yeah.
But, shame on them.
But typically, it's like, you know, if it's an RPG, you have someone who likes RPGs. I mean, you see it a lot. That's why I like usually reviewers versus a website itself. Like, I'll look at, like, IGN, like, Death Stranding specifically, when I looked at theirs. I saw all the big ones on Twitter because it was like Kojima Productions Koji Pro kept retweeting them. But when I saw IGN's, the first thing I do when I look at a review on any website is I look at who's reviewing it. And when I see it, I'm like, I have no idea who this person is. Because that's the positive side effect of podcasts, is that I've listened to Podcasts Beyond, IGN Unlocked, Game Scoop, you know, those pillar podcasts from IGN for years. And same thing like the Game Informer show. So I know these people. Like Dan Tack from Game Informer, like, he's the big Souls guy. So I know if there's a Souls-like or something and he's playing it and he's doing the review, I know how much he loves the Souls games, how much he loves Bloodborne and Sekiro and everything like that. So, and I've heard him talk on the podcast about his gaming likes and dislikes. So if he has a review come out and it's like, you know, it's a Souls-like and he goes, you know, maybe gives it like a 7, like, it's, you know, it's good. But, you know, it's business. I'm like, I know, okay, well, he's a huge fan. I understand, you know, it puts more depth to his opinion on the game because I'm familiar with him. That's why when I like to tell the Death Stranding one, that person was from Australia, they're Australia. Like, I have no idea who that is. So I don't know, are they a big Metal Gear person? Are they not? Do they like Kojima games? You know, what are their thoughts? Do they only like one Metal Gear? You know, so it's like, that's why, like, usually when it's the big review week, like, that's what I like a lot about Game Informer, is their podcast is great because they come out on Thursday, so it's like, you know, end of the week, so they have plenty of time to record, and it'll be like, oh, you know, 3 games came out. So they have one section with, like, hey, here's Elise Favis talking about, you know, Animal Crossing or something. Nah, I don't know. Probably not. But, you know, some game. And then it's her. She talks about it, and typically they'll have 2 other people who have at least played the game, maybe to completion, or, you know, a bit, to get their opinions as well. So it's nice to have the reviewer talk about their review, why they gave the score, much more so than just the review itself, you know, the limited words you have in there, and then also have other people's opinions. That's what I really like about Game Informer's podcast, which, of course, they let a bunch of people go, but they started MinMax, which is a Patreon. Definitely check out the MinMax podcast. It's great. Ben Hansen and all those guys. But yeah, that's what I like a lot about. I usually like the podcast reviews of a game versus just the article.
Because, yeah, same thing, I never even read the article. If I know I'm not going to immediately buy the game anyway, because if I know I'm going to buy a game and I'm going to play it and I'm going to get some kind of enjoyment out of it, I don't even look at reviews. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care what other people's opinions are. I don't want that. But if it's a game I'm like on the fence about, or if something I don't know, or a game I don't know anything about, I'll go and I'll just look at the score, or I'll look at like the summary, and it's like, oh, it's this score, here's the pros and cons. Or it's like, but when you do just like a should you play this game thing, it's like, yes, play this game, here's all the positives, or no, don't play this game, here's all the negatives. It's like that, it doesn't break it down enough. Whereas like if it's a mediocre score, I'll look at why it's a mediocre score, and I'd be like, well, I don't really care about those things, so I'll just go ahead and play it. Or if it's like, if it gives a mediocre score because of its performance or whatever, it's like, well, how bad is it? Because I fucking hated my time at Portia on the Switch because it was bad and crashed all the time, but I still sunk 30 hours into the stupid game. Like, it's like, well, how bad is it? Can I just kind of power through it, and can I get over it or whatever? And it's like, well, what's the mechanic that's giving it a bad score? Is it just repetitive? Do I have to just kind of like, you know, am I going to have to put a podcast on while I get through this part of the game? I don't really care about the repetitive shit. It's like, but is it like worth it kind of thing?
Right. Yeah. Which is, like you said, I like usually seeing that where it's like, you know, it's, especially if a game gets like a 7, which is good. And I play plenty of 7 games, but 7's always typically the, oh, why, well, I won't play, I'll skip that game because it's a 7. What a lot of people usually do. But you'll see that usually in the reviews for those, it's like, if you're a fan of, you know, if it's a series or a genre that's maybe a little more, you know, unique, like a specialty genre or something like that, it's like, if you're not used to the genre, don't. If you love the genre or you love this series, you'll enjoy this game more than a 7. Mm-hmm. So it's like, go ahead and play it. Like, yeah, if you, like, you've seen that with like, what did Assassin's Creed Unity get? Assassin's Creed Unity.
That's an unfair comparison because I liked Assassin's Creed Unity, but I hated the fucking ending.
Right,
so
right.
So it's like, it makes me think of like Devil May Cry. When Devil May Cry 5 came out, everybody was like lauding it because it was a really good game. But a lot of reviewers and like general and people in general were like, if you've never played a Devil May Cry game, don't play it for the story. Just play it because it's ridiculous and fun and you can just hack and slash your way through it. It's a really fun game. But don't put too much emphasis on the story or the characters in general if you've never played the series before.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at a... Yeah, because, like, IGN gave Unity a 78, so it's good. And I'm trying to see some other... a lot of other 7s. Like, a lot of 7s across the board. Eurogamer 7. A lot of 7s. And it's, like, a lot of that was the technical stuff. Because pre-release, it did have a lot of technical issues, especially on PC, or on, you know, some on consoles, some on PC as well. Came on PC, didn't it? Yeah.
Eventually.
But yeah, like I didn't have those. That was an issue where, like, obviously, if a reviewer gets hit with a bunch of bugs that you don't, that's going to impact their review. And now,
yeah,
which has caused a lot of people. The Battlefield 4 was the big one that's caused sites like IGN to re-review games or postpone reviews when they have multiplayer components. But I've seen them go back and re-review stuff that maybe was plagued by some bugs pre-launch. And usually stuff they know about, because developers will tell you, like, hey, you know, you might experience, you know, this list of problems. There's going to be a day one patch. But they don't always, you know, give them that information. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that can definitely influence. So it's like, yeah, I might experience this bug, so I'm just going to go ahead and play this game, and I'll have more enjoyment. But again, I like the AC series more than this person, probably. So I'll enjoy it more than a 7, but...
Yeah, and especially, like, a lot of those reviews went down because of the technical issues. But when I played Unity, I didn't have any technical issues. I didn't run into a lot of things. I had a little bit of slowdown, which I just attributed to the fact that, you know, I was on a normal-ass, old-ass... What was that on?
Well, it was on PS4 because the Pro was not at the point. Because that was the second year the PS4 was out.
Yeah, so it's like, well, I just attributed it to, I have other games that slow down sometimes too. They have frame rate drops, but they're not like, it wasn't noticeable unless you were actually looking for it. I didn't have a lot of the technical problems. Whereas a lot of people had really good scores for Odyssey, but we had technical problems out the ass with that game, and it really affected the way I played it. So it's like, if the technical issue is the reason for the low score, then I'm going to play the game anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a lot that goes into it. Going back to the article, it's the 10 point, I think, is two. It's just, it's a little too limited, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and as long as they don't get rid of, the breakdown, too.
Yeah, they should still have it there. I mean, that'll be fine, because that's usually, again, what I like. If I know the reviewer, I'll read it, or I'll just wait till, you know, I listen to every pod, because obviously that week, every podcast I listen to that's a gaming podcast, like, all of them are talking about the same thing, so it's like... Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, well, I'll just hear everybody talk about it. But usually the only time I ever, like, read reviews is for a game where it's like when Subnautica got announced for PS4. Like, it had already been out on PC for quite a while, and PC had a review already. I think it might have been, like, because I don't remember if it launched. Because it came out on PS4 in 2018. I think it launched before that on PC, or maybe it could have been an early access review. I'm not sure. But I remember, like, I wasn't going to get the game. But I was interested, like, maybe way down the line, which obviously I did get. So I remember watching, like, the review for it. And I've done that for games, like, I have little interest at the time, or it might not come out on console till way later. So I'll be like I did it with, like, Divinity Original Sin 2, where I played the first one. I'm like, okay, this is going to come to PS4, but I'll watch this review just because I'm, you know, obviously that game got, like, a 10, I think. But I want to see the review because I want to get interested, and I won't remember most of the stuff, you know, by the time it comes out anyways. And they're not going to spoil anything. Usually it's like one of those story-focused games, like, definitely stay away.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see how it goes for them with this new review scale. But yeah, I guess moving on from there, we can go ahead and jump into what we've been playing. So have you been playing anything new, Zaya? No, nothing.
Pokemon and farm together.
Haven't you beat Pokemon yet?
Nope.
I thought Michael said it was easy.
Here's my problem.
You're done yet.
Here's my problem. I'm at the end of the game and I'm doing the final like end of game thing, but there's also these things called raid battles that take up my whole goddamn day, and I don't know how it happens. But I have a lot of raid battle Pokemon. So that's the problem. It's the whole like I'm a slut for side quests thing. I can't go do the main thing when there's other things I could be doing just in case. And I'm on the hunt for a fucking Dynamax Alcremie and I cannot get one. So that's my like vice right now is I'm just
are you gonna
keep adding events and stuff?
And nom it.
A nom it.
A what?
Zaya's like, I have no idea what she just said. Are you gonna eat it, Zaya?
No.
Oh, the
she you don't eat the Alcremie. The Alcremie makes the whipped cream.
It's made of whipped cream.
It makes whipped cream. You don't eat it because then you don't have an infinite supply. If you eat the Alcremie, you don't have an infinite supply of whipped cream anymore. That's what it is.
Look, I'm just saying.
If you eat the bees, you don't get honey.
Exactly.
There's a bit of confusion there of like, does it just infinitely produce whipped cream?
Yes.
Does it have like infinite energy stores? What does it eat? What does something made of whipped cream
berries.
Eat for nutrients?
You don't know what Pokemon eat. Pokemon eat berries and curry. I make my Alcremie curry. It makes her happy. She makes me whipped cream.
Does it change the flavor of whipped cream?
The flavor of whipped cream is determined by the berry type of berry that they have on their little head when you evolve them.
Is that a real thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
Off on a tangent, there's like 60 or 70 different forms of Alcremie that you can get based on the berry that you give it when you evolve it and the direction and time of day that you spin when you evolve it.
So it's like Final Fantasy XI crafting.
Yeah,
all right, hold the wind staff and face northwest on Wednesday and you'll get a high quality.
Yes.
Make sure you're in a double wind zone.
You pick the version of Alcremie that you want and then you make it.
What version do you have?
I have the one with the strawberries, and she's like the strawberry cream version or whatever. She's like an off-white cream color with a little strawberry tip.
Strawberry shortcake. Yeah.
I made that one, and I love her.
Nice.
But yeah, that's why I haven't played anything new. And also, like, nothing has really come out recently that I wanted to play. I wanted to play Jedi, but I can't. It's got Spoders in it. And the only things coming out this month, I think there's the Crystal Chronicles remake comes out this month, and then the DLC for Kingdom Hearts. But those come out at the end of the month, so I just kind of am in a little bit of limbo right now before I get anything else.
Do you have it on? Did Michael play it on PS4? Is that where you have it? Or did you not? Well, you said you wanted to play Jedi, but you didn't because of the spiders.
I was watching Mithy Moo play it. A little bit because I was like, oh well, is it good? Like, is it buggy? Is it as Souls-like as people are saying it is? Because I don't want to be stressed out when I'm playing a Star Wars game. And he got ambushed by a giant spider boss, and I was like, nope, can't play that.
I wonder if you could, if it's on, get it on PC, and if there's any like, you know, there's people always like mod out scary things.
That's how I got through Dragon Age.
I wonder if they could. I wonder if there's like a mod for it to get rid of the spooters.
I figure in a few months or like maybe at the end of the month or something, I'll check on Nexus and see if there's anybody that has like bug-free version of Jedi Fallen Order. Go and play my arachnophobic friends. There's usually like a mod like that at some point up, so we'll see. I'm sure I'll play it eventually or I'll get to play it. So we'll
see. If they do mods like that, do they do custom animations, or does the animation still happen with just the skin on top of it?
It depends. I had a couple different mods for Dragon Age. I think it depends on how much time they spend on it and like what kind of resources, because the first mod that I had for Dragon Age, it modded out all the spiders and replaced them with bears, but they didn't have any animations, so it was literally just like floating bears running around. They had no animation, and it didn't replace the sounds. So it was still like the really disgusting, horrible spider eating your face sound, like but with a bear that had no animations. So it was really like more funny and unsettling than anything. But the one that I got later on, I think for two or Origins, I don't remember which one I had it for. It replaced them with bears again, but it had all the bear animations and sounds, so it completely replaced the mob with the bear mob. So I don't know how they managed to do that.
Since there was another bear, like, actually in the game.
Yeah. So it's like, instead of just, I guess instead of just swapping the model, they swapped the whole, like, spawn file or something like that. Yeah, and it's just, like, it had all the animations and stuff like that. They still did, like, dropping down off the ceiling or, like, jumping on you and stuff like that. But when it dropped down from the ceiling, it didn't have any animation. But as soon as it hit the floor, it started having animation. So I guess it just depends on, like, how much time they spend on it.
Yeah.
Just casually throwing in that drop bear comment.
Yeah. I was thinking that, because with, like, because of the Souls nature of Jedi, like, there's attack animations that they do that to where you can, like, one-shot kill them if you time it right. So I'm wondering, like, well, if they replace the model with something else, do they, like, I wonder how you would get that cue. Or I guess if you played the game just, like, on normal or easy, if you just want the story and not be stressed, then you wouldn't, I guess, wouldn't have to worry about it. But you just hold, like, I guess your guard up the whole time, so you're not, you don't miss those, like, cues, or, like, they might grab you or something or do whatever. I feel like that would be the problem with, like, a Souls-like game, is replacing a model but not being able to see the animation, because the animation is such a crucial part of those games.
And especially when it has, like, when it's part of, like, boss battles that have specific, like, specific animations or specific events and stuff like that, like quick time events and stuff like that. It's hard to just, like, put a different thing in there. Sometimes it won't work. And if he's, like, if it's telling the character or the player that this thing is spawned, but it's showing something different, like, if you do a kill animation on it, it's just going to be wrong. I'm fine with, as long as it's not a spider. But
yeah, I wonder if they could just, like you said, do that thing for Dragon, if they could just, because there's no boss spider, so, like, they're just normal mobs. So I wonder if they could just replace, like, there's these other creatures that are basically like these crabs. Like, they almost, I almost thought they were tiny spiders, but I'm pretty sure they're just little crab things. Like, if they either A, replace them with those, or just another enemy type that's like a, and just do that instead, like, if that would be easy enough to mod out.
You wouldn't be able to replace, like, a cutscene, like a rendered cutscene or anything like that.
There are no rendered, at least, none with the spiders. I was trying to think of all the instances the spiders show up. Like, if you just swapped them with a different enemy, it'd be totally fine.
And I imagine, like, it doesn't look at that Souls-like, as in, like, you have to pay attention or you have to, you know, react and stuff like that. I imagine if I played it on easy, I could just kind of, like, sidestep and push the attack button I do when there's spiders in other games. I could probably just get through it that way and just hold the controller up to my face like I usually do. But that's just a lot of, like, the problem is when you don't see it coming. And I know that there's one instance where it just comes out of nowhere and attacks you. That's a problem. And I don't want to be thinking about that the whole time I'm playing.
Yeah, the first time, unless you get to, like, you know, like, if you just had, yeah, because you had, like, you know, the when to pee during a movie thing, they tell you, like, oh, at 1 hour and 40 minutes when it says they're in Tokyo, you can go away because they're just going to talk to Bruce Banner, you know?
Yeah.
So if they have it, like, oh, once you get past this cutscene, once you enter new area X, you know, it's going to happen soon. So then, like, if you could pass it off to Michael and be like, hey, Michael, just do this, you know, look away, he gets through it. Because, like, there is that point where it's, like, an introductory attack. And then the only other time it's like that is this one spot I can think of later on, but it's like, it's clearly gonna happen because there's spider webs on the ground, and that's what triggers it. So it's like, outside of the introductory part, you could probably know exactly when and where they're gonna be later on in the game, and maybe just have Michael play through those moments.
Well, that's how I got through the first part of Dragon Age. I can't remember which Dragon Age it was, but I was in this, like, church thing or cave or something like that, and I opened a door and the whole room was just covered in web, and I was like, here's the controller, I'm not doing this. the point I got to was, like, I was supposed to go to a cave, and one of the, like, dwarves was like, hey, this cave is where the Spider Queen lives, just letting you know. And I was like, you're gonna have to play this whole section of the game. I'm just gonna get it on computer and mod them out. So
I still think my favorite spider moment with you was Bloodborne,
Oh
where
my
you first
God.
tried to get through a section by closing your eyes and just pushing the button over and over
You can't do that
before
in
eventually
Bloodborne.
having to hand it off to Michael.
It's like, you need to do this because I can't do it blind.
That was so good.
Such that's bullshit. Funny. But that's what I mean. It's like, Bloodborne is not a game I can do that. I can't kill ROM by not looking at the screen. But there's other games where, like, if there's spider-like things, sometimes I can just get by holding the controller up and hitting the attack button.
How did you get through ROM when we played? Did you just sit there and I killed it?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's always the preface when I
Okay.
Like, I will not look at the boss. I will run around the edge of the arena and I will look the other way.
At least ROM also looked more like a louse. Not,
ROM isn't the problem. She's fine.
It's
the 70 spiders that she summons.
But they got babies that are the problem.
At least they got those rock faces. So it's like,
I wouldn't know. I've never seen them.
Because it's not like when you're in the Nightmare Mensis where it's like you run through the castle portion. It's like, all right,
never done that either.
Yeah, these are some spiders.
Nope, not interested. I opened the door one time and saw the little feety looking down. And I was like, nope.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sit outside and wait for somebody.
You legit had a few instances where you just straight up screamed into the microphone at me.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about your ears.
She opened her eyes for a moment accidentally.
One chased me off a cliff one time. I remember that.
Yeah, well, you just kept running, and then I got sent back to my own world. And I was like, "What the hell happened?" And you're like, "I think I ran off a cliff."
I didn't know. I wasn't looking.
She just kept running in one direction, and I think I was even like, stop and then come back.
I honestly, I legitimately thought I was just running into a wall because I was hitting the attack button and holding forward, but I wasn't looking at the screen. And then Michael was like, hey, you just died. And I was like, oh.
That's funny. What if you've been playing, Isley?
So I finished Bioshock 1, and I have now moved on to Bioshock 2.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to go back and finish Dragon's Dogma. Well, it's beat. I have to do the speedrun mode still. Mm-hmm. So I'm playing through Bioshock 2 right now, and Bioshock 1 has been out long enough, so obviously the big twist being the Andrew Ryan mind control thing. But playing through the game knowing about that, I know, right?
Shit.
They actually don't use the phrase that much throughout the game. Like, I knew about it, so every time they spoke, I was like paying attention to whether they said the key phrase or not. Surprisingly, they actually don't say it that often.
Yeah, it's only at like key moments, like especially in the beginning. It's
like,
used a lot.
The game starts with it, and there are like two or three key moments throughout, and then like they touch on it at the end. But then when there's like a cutscene when he like points out that you're being mind controlled, and it flashes to all the instances where they said the key phrase. And I'm sitting there going like, I don't think you actually said it during this instance, or like the audio is different or something like that, because it's not used that frequently. And I don't know. It was just kind of an odd experience because I thought that it was far more obvious than it actually was.
Maybe
I still
that's
enjoyed
a trick.
It a lot though.
It was, you just don't realize it.
But, you know, it's possible. I started playing 2, and I'm playing through 2 right now, and I honestly can't remember if I ever played it before, because I don't remember anything about the story, so either it was not memorable at all, or I just straight up didn't play it.
I think, from what I remember from 2, the story was, like, the not as good, but the DLC, the Minerva's Den, was supposed to be fantastic.
Well, the story is basically you're a big daddy going to find the person you're bonded with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the...
Oh, I'm sorry. I had to mute myself because I was sneezing.
Oh.
But beyond like being a big daddy and trying to find the little sister you're bonded to, I don't remember jack shit about this game. And I'm playing through it right now going like, okay, I remember the drill arm because you're a big daddy. And that's like the only thing I remember about this game was like maniacally laughing as I drilled people. That sounds bad. But like, I don't remember anything else about this game, and I'm enjoying it.
but I'm waiting for the like moment where I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I remember this. I did play it. And I don't know if that's coming. I don't know. It's fully possible that I just never beat BioShock 2.
Maybe. You'll find out when you get to the end, and then I guess play the DLC. But are you going straight on to Infinite after that?
Yeah, because I want my trophy list to be in order.
There you go.
I want BioShock 1, 2, and Infinite to all be in order. So, yes, I will be playing Infinite immediately after, which I know I didn't play, so that will be enjoyable. Infinite doesn't go to Rapture, though. It goes to, like, Sky City, right?
Yep.
Is it tied in any way to the first two games?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe after yourself. No. Yep. You'll find out. Just play the game.
Well, no spoiler. Okay. I'll just ask the question I'm getting at. Did you enjoy the actual story of Infinite and how it tied into the BioShock series?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I like
that's all I really wanted to know. Is like, I love the feel of BioShock 1 and the feel of BioShock 2, and Infinite looks like all the trailers and the gameplay I've seen, like they look so colorful and upbeat that I just wasn't sure if it really still felt kind of like a BioShock game, aside from the fact that you have like plasmids.
It's not upbeat. It's very not what's going on in that world. Okay. No, I liked it a lot.
Cool.
Yeah, and then definitely play the DLC for that one. But...
well, it came with it, so I definitely will.
Good stuff.
Good.
That'll be fun.
And then other than that, I started playing Untitled Goose Game.
Honk.
You haven't played it yet?
I just bought it like a week ago. Calm down, woman.
It's like a 2-hour game.
Well, I started it last night and played it for like half an hour.
So you're like halfway through the game already.
Half an hour is not halfway through 2 hours. somewhere your math has gone wrong.
Okay, well, it depends on how much you screw around. If you just do the things and get through the game, it's probably like an hour and a half.
Okay, well...
but if you torture all the citizens on your way out, it's 2 to 2.5 hours.
But if you lean heavily into your sadistic side... it's fine. I'm
that
sure
was like,
it
just paused after that sadistic side. So I was waiting for the rest. Uh-huh. Like, we got a break. Sadistic side, was not going on anymore. He stopped. The heroin user showed up again.
Whoops.
Oh, God. Yeah, so I couldn't talk too loudly back then, but it was guys that were clearly shooting up heroin just on the sidewalk, just right into their leg in the middle of the sidewalk.
That's funny.
Because
it was, they were outside a gym.
I was walking
through
a bad
woods.
Area.
Uh-oh.
Basically just down
that's,
the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, that's Seattle.
That's Seattle for you. But, yeah, I guess, let's see, because I talked about how I'd finished Subnautica. That was fantastic. Then I played some more of Everybody's Golf the other day, just because I hadn't played in a while, and that game's so good. And then I started playing, both DMC5 and Oxygen Not Included on Steam because it was on sale. I'm not too far into DMC5. My issues with DMC5 is, like you said with the story, it starts in media res, which I thought, like, okay, that's fine. It happens a lot in games. You know, Uncharted 4, Uncharted 2. Uncharted 4 especially, because you're on the boat. That's way more than Uncharted 2 was. But it doesn't really flash back to set up the story until, like, it's like, I think it's like Mission 8. Like, you see mm-hmm. V talk to Dante. And they're like, but it takes so long. And then, so I'm like, There's a demon guy, Nero's arm's gone, there's a tree, and then all of a sudden it's a month later. And then it's like, okay, sure. And then playing it. And then every time you pick up a colored orb, it like takes you to the menu. It's like, yo, you got a blue orb chunk. I'm like, I know what it is. Stop telling me. But every time I pick one up, it tells me what it is. Same with the gold orbs. I'm like, I know what these are. Stop it. It's like,
I know. It's like your third gold orb, and it pops up the thing. You're like, No, I'm pretty sure I've gotten one of those before. Thanks,
like,
game.
Yeah, I know. Quit it, game. And it, like, gives you one every time you log in. It's a login bonus for some reason, like every day.
Mm-hmm.
I really like V's combat style, but the problem I have is sometimes I feel like the tiger isn't locking on, and then I'm like, am I doing the directional on V's stance or the way the tiger's standing? Sometimes it throws me off, because it's like, you know, down, you know, back in triangle to swipe up, you know, launch an enemy in the air. But I'm like, is it where the tiger's looking? Because V is looking to the left a little bit. And I'm like, so should it be to the right technically? Because it's not, you know, to the back, based on the way he's facing. But it's fine there. And then also I feel like sometimes you can't, like, I'm like, oh, I can't hit this enemy with the tiger that's, you know, floating in the air, versus if I was near, I could just double jump and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't, like, make the tiger jump. And so that's the problem. And this is also a prime example of what extra buttons would be great for. Because if I had the back buttons, I would map square and triangle on those. Because being able to, like, I want to be able to move and rotate the camera while hitting square and triangle at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Or hold square to charge up the bird and then hit and keep hitting triangle at the same time, which I can, you know, kind of do like a heel toe situation with my thumb, but I can still obviously move V, but I can't rotate the camera, so I gotta make sure I'm keeping the camera, you know, in position. I'm just kind of making him run in circles, but I really like the way he attacks like that, and attacking at the same time with the bird and the tiger. I think it's really cool. It feels like a red mage or something, like you're just a spellcaster off in the distance. Sometimes I feel like the R1 circle to kill the enemies doesn't always work. Like, sometimes he just charges forward, but he's not picking it. And I also feel like target changing isn't always perfect. Like, nope. It's like, oh, you know, you hold R1, you hit L3, and you change your target. But it's like, unless they're super close together, he doesn't, characters, you don't switch automatically, which is really annoying. And then I had one cutscene where the audio was way off, but that was just once. It hasn't happened since. But other than that, I'm enjoying the game. Again, I'm not sure exactly what's going on here, because the way they're telling the story,
it won't make sense until, like, the end later of the game. I'm just letting you know now. It jumps around.
I assume that's the case. I'm like, all right, well. But, I'm liking it so far. Like I said, I like V's attack style. I thought maybe he'd get more, like, animals or something.
Upgrade the ones you have.
Yeah, and I feel like there's not... Oh, the other thing, this is what I don't like, that I wish games would get rid of, is I'm no longer a fan of delayed combo pressing, where it's like, mm-hmm. triangle, triangle, wait till the animation is halfway through, and then triangle again.
I hate it.
That works in games where it's like, if it was like a, I don't, Sekiro doesn't have it, but like a game like Sekiro, a game where it's typically one-on-one, not DMC, where it's an action game where it's you and a crowd of enemies, because mm-hmm. that doesn't work. And I hate it. And especially if you put that kind of move set, like you hide, like one of the best Nero's moves is the triangle, triangle, pause, and then spam the triangle move. Like, that's a really strong move, but I hate that pause effect. And I hate the, you can't just hit the triangle. Like, Mortal Kombat on the PS3, Deadly Alliance, Apocalypse, and what was the other one? There's a third one. Apocalypse, the last one. It was Deadly Alliance, Deception, I think it was. And where those games, like, that game had, like, 10 button combo strings. But you didn't have to time it like in DMC. You could just hit all 10 buttons, and as long as the other person doesn't block the moves, like, I could just punch in that 10 button string, the character plays it out. And I like that kind of system, and I wish action games did that, to where I could just hit triangle 4 times and then I just do the 4 moves, unless I move the character out of the way or something, if I interrupt it. Like, I hate the you have to keep hitting, because then at least the pause stuff wouldn't bug me as much, because I could just, like, triangle, triangle, just wait a second, and then hit triangle 4 times, versus having to pay attention to the animation. Or, like, I can't just spam triangle, triangle. I have to wait. Okay, he has to get far enough through this attack first before I can do it. And I feel like the moveset's super cut back in this game. Like, I had the, it gave me the 100,000 orbs edition, because that's like the default edition I had to buy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that's nice, because at least I can buy a bunch of the move, double jump right away, and upgrade a couple move sets really quick. But there wasn't a whole lot to upgrade. And then, yeah, I felt like the combos, there's not a ton of them, at least from what I'm used to in the previous Devil May Cry games. But yeah, I wish people would get rid of that pause and then keep going thing when it's in an action game. Like, I was trying to remember if God of War did that. And I don't think they did in that game, but I can't recall. I don't remember it being a problem in God of War.
God of War had things like it had moves with the axe where you throw the axe and then as soon as it comes back you hit it again and you could like do a combo with it or something like that, or specific skills had that, but that was the only wait. But it,
yeah,
you waited anyway because you didn't have your weapon. You threw right. your yeah. weapon and then as soon as it came back you did that. That was like the pause part of the combo or whatever, but it wasn't yeah. like part of a continuous string, I don't think.
Yeah, and I'm with Nier, I'm still not fully sure about his I guess they're called Devil Breakers, his arm attachments. I'm always like, I just pick them up. I don't know if you can change which one you have equipped. I try to hit like left, right, and D-pad. Nothing happened. I'm like, all right.
I think you have to equip them. I don't know if they auto equip. I don't remember. I think you have to equip them like as part of your loadout before you go out. But I never fucking remembered which one did what. So right. I would be like, oh, well, I'm going to go to this one because I want this specific move, and it would be the wrong move and that arm broke because it was its last use. And I'm like, okay, well, fuck it. Fuck it. Just equip whatever and attack whatever. I don't care anymore.
Like, they have a Nico suggested loadout when you go to like a boss fight or something.
That's what I do.
It's like, if I pick them up, I just pick them up. And it's like, okay, because when you pick it up, it default makes that the first one. I'm like, mm-hmm. whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't really use it because I'm like, you know, whatever. It's, I have no idea how they're used, but yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. Like I said, I'm not crazy far. I'm like mission 9 or something. It's like, I just saw that flashback with V and Dante, and I think it's whatever's after that. That's where I stopped. But I like that it lets you have that one mission where you could choose to be V or Nero when you're just running to some location. But I thought it was like going to make me go back and redo that mission as the other character, but yeah, luckily it didn't. But yeah, it was good. I'm enjoying it so far. Like I said, because the story isn't really like, you know, pulling me along, like it's taking its time. It's kind of not making me want to keep going. It's like, I've been playing Oxygen Not Included, which is that's definitely a game that could be on PS4 and it would work just fine. I mean, Prison Architects on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
So they could definitely put that game on. And that's fun because I do the same thing where I name each of the characters. I feel like in RimWorld, it was always you two and then like maybe my cousin or Solid Snake or Quiet or something. So I name like characters like, oh, here's Izzy, this is Aya, you know, whatever. And that game just has funny things like these negative attributes the characters can have, like, you know, ugly crier, or they binge eat, or they have they consume more oxygen than the other characters, or they're a loud snorer. They have a small bladder, so they have to use the bathroom more. But that's a fun game, and that's just like I was doing with Subnautica, where I was watching the streamer do his Let's Play of Subnautica. I'm watching him because I watched his Oxygen Not Included way back in the day, but I never finished it. So I restarted. So as I'm playing, doing my build, I'm watching him go through his stuff. So it's a pretty funny scene, just especially because the seeds are totally different. So he could have entirely different issues than I do. But he is playing, I think, on the pre-release version, or I'm playing on the full release. But that game's a lot of fun. I like the cartoonish style of it too, especially for the replicants. But RimWorld's a game I want to go back and definitely play some. I played some the other day, but I didn't finish anything with my colony, but it's good times. But yeah, gotta get what else do I have that I gotta play? I still have to play, I need to finish Assassin's Creed, that DLC, because I only played a little bit of I'm in Hades. I need to play some more of that. And then I haven't started Man of Medan, and of course didn't do Mortal Kombat yet, but I'll probably just finish DMC5. And just keep playing Oxygen Not Included. And I've got to wait till those big releases come out later this year. It's going to show up fast. There was a... I didn't bring it up because it was a leak specs for talking about Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 and teraflops and yada yada. But of course, it was unsubstantiated stuff. It was just, you know, saying, oh, this is going to have this and this is going to have that and yada yada. But it's like, I'll just wait until, like, I watch the Digital Foundry stuff, but even they're like kind of skeptical on it. Yeah, hopefully. Oh, that's what it is. I was trying to remember the other thing. CES is on Tuesday, and Sony was saying, you know, come see the future, something like that, teasing their stuff. So people are wondering if they're going to show PlayStation 5 at CES. Because I think the last time they did a console reveal at CES might have been, did they do PlayStation 2? Could have been PlayStation 1, maybe. Like, could have been a while, but I know because CES was the place that you revealed new consoles back, like, way back.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became much more like, oh, we'll do it at E3. But yeah, so it'll be really interesting to see if they do anything with PS5 at CES on Tuesday. So maybe next week we'll have even more to talk about for PlayStation 5. So, because, I mean, we've seen Scarlet. We'll see if, not Scarlet, Series X. So we'll see if Sony shows their box design or whatever they're doing. Be some interesting stuff.
Their own mini fridge.
Yeah. There are also some patents, some saying that could be fully backwards compatible patent tech for PS1, 2, and 3, not just PS4. There's also another patent tech thing about being able to just, the way the CPU architecture set up in the PS5, that you could just cut it in half multiple times to be like, oh, if we just cut it in half twice, it makes it the power of the PS4. So it, much like the PS4 Pro does, where they just doubled the motherboard, essentially, the whole board, and said like, okay, this gives it the Pro power, but if we want to run anything in non that doesn't have Pro support or boost mode, we turn this hardware section off. So now it's the base model. So it sounds like they're doing something similar, except kind of hampering the output of the hardware in order to make it just that way you don't run into any, you know, problems, which is like we talked about boost mode problems before for PS4 Pro, where some games didn't run well with boost mode on because of that extra hardware capacity. So it'll be interesting. Hopefully we see some stuff. I mean, that'd be pretty dope Tuesday, just get more PS5 information. But I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, all right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Luckily, Isley didn't get murdered by heroin users, and he got his new sweet jacket.
Good job.
He didn't get
hit. I did. It was a successful morning.
We got to know. Why did you have to? Why was there a crazy line at some place to get a jacket?
Because the jacket was for hiking, and any outdoors store here after New Year's is fucking insane because it's people returning shit and spending like gift cards and things. So it was holiday rush.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Weekend after New Year's.
Yeah. I thought I went early enough to like get by that, but I did not.
You didn't.
No.
You messed up.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the problem I hit about, which was like, cause one of the gifts I got from during our like, what is it? Secret Santa thing we did for drawings is like someone got me a Rick and Morty shirt, but it was the only one they had left in stock at Spencer's, and it was like XL. I'm like, clearly I don't wear XL, but they had the gift receipt, so I'm like, well, now I have to wait until I know. Like, I waited a week, and I called them like, hey, you guys got this shirt in stock in small? And because I don't want to go there and not be there, it's like, so luckily I did, and they put it beside for me, and then I went to the store and just did the swap. But yeah, it's always the thing. You gotta returns during the holidays. You gotta wait because then the other thing is like, okay, well, I know like typically places restock once a week, but it's like it's the holiday times. So are the truckers still making deliveries on time as per usual because of the holidays? You know, it might take an extra week before they get their stock back. But anyways, all right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for tuning and listening. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining. And we will see you all next time.
Bye.
Get to say goodbye again.
Say it.
Later.